Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, if you're physically able, if you'd stand with me, we'll reverence God's Word, read a couple of verses. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Our Father, we bow before tonight. Lord, it's been such a privilege, Lord, to be in Your house and, Lord, feel Your presence, Your Spirit abounding here. And, Lord, I come to You needy. Lord, I realize all the studying that this little feller could do. Lord, without You filling me and unctionizing me and God giving me the words that You'd have me to speak, Lord, it'd just be in vain. So, God, I pray now that You'd take, Lord, and these lips of clay, and only what You'd have to be said would be said. And, Lord, that it glorify You, that it uplift and exalt the name of Jesus, and this Thy people would be encouraged by Your precious Word. Have Thy way, and we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Title of this message, Keep Running. Keep Running. Got 5 points. Try to move fairly quick. The first point in this message of keep running would be participation in this race. Participation in this race. You see, this race is a race that's open to everyone. And the entry has been paid for. If you think about a worldly race of some sort, usually there's some kind of an entry fee, or you might have to possibly have a sponsor. See, that's not the case in this race. There's only one requirement for this race. And it's done been said several times already in the service. The only requirement for participation in this race, this Christian race, is salvation. Jesus said in John 3:7, "Ye must be born again." He said in 1 Timothy 2:4, Paul writing to Timothy said, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth." 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Romans 10:9, I know you could quote this, but it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The only requirement, the entry fee has done been paid by Jesus Himself on the cross of Calvary. Your entry fee, the only thing you've got to do to participate in this race is accept the free gift of salvation. So number one, the participation of the race. Number two, if you're participating in this race, you got to make some preparations for this race. Now, in this piece of Scripture here, there's some tone set about here with Greek and Roman athletics. That was a big thing in that time, that period of time. The athletics, and it still is, it's no different today, amen, with the athletics. And in the Bible there, Paul says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." You say, "Now, preacher, it doesn't say that Paul wrote this." I believe, to the best of my knowledge, this to be the writing of Paul. Regardless of who wrote it, that's not the issue. The Holy Ghost is the one that done the penning down. But when he says this cloud of witnesses, as I begin to study there, some say, some commentators, some theologians would say, well, it's those up there in glory. And they're looking over the banisters, and they're looking down at us, and they're rooting and cheering us on. And that may be true. And certainly that's an encouraging thought. But for myself, I believe the Scriptures would teach all we'd have to do is look back at chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, at this Hall of Faith chapter, and we'll see some people that by faith set an example before us to run this race. But we got to make some preparations. How do we make some preparations? I believe, first and foremost, we have to have the correct mindset. We have to have the correct mindset. Look with me. We'll be doing some turning tonight. You know, I've sat under Brother Darren for a long time. You're going to do some turning tonight, okay? That's just the way I've been taught, amen? Will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Y'all pray for my voice. I've sung and I've sung and I've sung, and it's about gone. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24, the Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says, know that all of them run in a race, again with that tone of an athletic event, where they're running, amen? But only one can win. I got news for you tonight. Guess what? In this Christian race, you all can win. And it's not a prize that's corruptible. It's something that's incorruptible. Here's the thing, y'all. You have to have a mindset when you go into this thing. Okay, here's an example. You call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. You confess and you repent and you're covered by the blood. Amen? Praise God, your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Something has to happen after that. You have to have a mindset when you begin this race that you're going to make some preparations. Now listen to me. Stay with me. I promise you I'm going somewhere. When you have the right mindset right here, your heart set, you can finish whatever you start to do with God's help. So the first thing you got to do is you got to have the correct mindset in these preparations. Secondly, you've got to be continually training and conditioning yourselves spiritually. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Did you hear that? Now listen to me. There's nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, I think it's a good thing for us to exercise and take care of our bodies. Amen? The Bible says your body is a temple for the Holy Ghost lives in, and it's bought with a price. Amen? So, that's a good thing to do exercise. But understand this, church. The very best that you do to take care of your bodies, every single day, as time progresses, that God allows us to stand, it's deteriorating. I mean, there's nothing that you can do. There's no magic machine that we can do to our bodies. There's no magic pool or potion. I heard Darren say this about Noxzema this morning, that we can keep what God has allowed for us to happen naturally with our bodies. We can't slow that down or stop it. So, what do we got to do then, preacher? Well, we've got to continually be training and conditioning ourselves spiritually. Now, here's where it gets hard. You see, this was the easy part when you get saved. Amen, man, that's the easy part. That's a free gift for you to receive. All you got to do is mind the Holy Spirit, come to Jesus, and He'll save you. Amen? But the hard part is when you get your mindset, the correct mindset, and then you are responsible to train yourself. You see, that's where a little bit of discipline comes in. So what we have to do? Well, here's how we need to condition ourselves. This is what a godly church, this is what us as Christians, this is what we need to be doing to condition ourselves spiritually, that we might run this race. First, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That's pretty simple, ain't it? Pray without ceasing. Y'all have heard me say this before, but I'm thoroughly convinced, and nobody else would convince me otherwise, that prayer and the privilege of prayer is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, privilege, benefit that we have as a Christian. And I'm also thoroughly convinced that it's the least afforded that we use. Somebody tell me why that is. Brother Dane, Miss Fran, talk to them. Praise the Lord for the wonderful report about Miss Judy. But you know what? Me or Darren or none of the rest of you, in our own power, we could do nothing in her sister's situation. But you know what we could do? We could pray. And I'll tell you something else. If you want power in here, if you want power in the church, if you want power in your life, if you want power in your testimony, you'll be a praying. That's where prayer comes from. Because it's communication with Him. Pray. Secondly, well, we need to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the Word of God. We need to pray, and we need to study the Word of God. Why, preacher? Ain't coming here and listening to good songs and Brother Darren preach Sunday in and Sunday out. Ain't that good enough? No. It's not. I mean, how much effort does that take? That you do it on your own. I've got the high schoolers on Wednesday nights at Awana. You know what I'm teaching them to do? I'm teaching them to do just exactly that. To study, to show themselves approved, that they might rightly divide the Word of God. You know why? Because there's a bunch of false junk out there. And if they're not rooted and grounded and established in some doctrine, they'll get washed and tossed around like some waves. We will too. Thirdly, not only do we need to pray and study the Word of God, we need to attend the house of God. Brother Matthew will like this one. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Now, in just simple terms, that means come to church. Why is it so important to come to church? Because you grow. You grow and you mature. Man, you get the fellowship. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not beating up on people who were here this morning. This place is completely full. What a blessing this morning. What happens on Sunday night? And we've got a good church. And I bet our percentages are better than most on Sunday nights for returning. But what happens? Some churches don't even have church on Sunday night. I've got Bible, I believe, why we should be here on Sunday evening. But what happens that on a Sunday evening, because God blessed us with beautiful, brilliant sunshine, such a beautiful day that, well, it's so pretty. Or if the race ain't done, or the ball game's not over. Huh? I'm preaching it right. Or whatever is more important than us coming back on Sunday night. And I'd hate to think that I missed this tonight. Minus my preaching. See, the world does what the world wants to do. And the world's going to do what the world wants to do. But you're in the race, y'all. You better be prepared. So, not only must we have the correct mindset and be in continual conditioning and training, listen, we got to lay some things aside. It's going to get hard here. Where's Bean? Bean, breaking up fallow ground, right? We got to lay some things aside. Let me go back to Hebrews here. Read that verse right quick to you. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. Every includes all. Every weight. And the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, let me give you some illustrations. You say, preacher, what do you mean by weight? Well, a weight, I believe, can be anything that comes between us and God. If it interferes between us and God, it's a weight, and it needs to be cast aside. We need to let it go. Think about this. Some weights. It can be anything, y'all. It can be anything. It can be something, Brother Floyd, that just you think you're the only one that knows about it. But God knows about it. You say, well, what's so bad about these weights? Okay, think about this. Think about, I read a story. It was in my devotion this morning. And there was a fellow that he was going to train to be a pilot in World War I. And before that ever led him to start his training as a pilot, you know what? He had to learn how to fly a balloon. He had to learn how to fly one of those big balloons. You know what? You get in that balloon, and what's the first thing you have to do before that thing will ever start lifting off the ground? You have to start, cutting that sandbags and that weight off, Brother Matt. Cut it off. And then you start letting that stuff go, and she starts lifting up the same way with us. I thought about this one. God, give me this one. What about this? Okay, a baseball player. You know how they get, and they'll be in the on-deck circle there, and it's not their time up yet, and they'll put those weighted rings on the bat, and it makes it heavier. And they'll be swinging that thing, you know, just swinging that thing. Now, imagine this. What if they leave those weights on there, and they go up there? I mean, the greatest slugger right now in Major League Baseball, and they get up there, and they got one of them that throws one of them wicked 90-mile-per-hour fastballs. But he's still got them weights that he's been swinging on there. He ain't no way he's going to swing that bat with them weights on there and catch up to that baseball. There ain't no way. So what does he do? He knocks them weights off there. Then he comes up there with a bat. Then he hits that ball. That's the same way, spiritually speaking, we have to lay some of these weights aside. That sin that so easily beset us, I believe that's just unbelief. Just unbelief, y'all. Just believe God and trust in Him for what His Word teaches us, tells us. He won't never let us down. So we got to let some weights off. Okay? Think about this. Now, I was using them athletic tones there. Imagine that we're in a race, right? Shane, stay with me. We're going to run this race, right? Okay, here comes Shane. Because of the weather that we've been having, I've got these rocky boots, got 1,600 grams fencelet, wool socks on, got big old heavy boots like Brother Brent, ain't picking on you, Brent. I've got Carhartt coveralls, I've got gloves, I've got 30 pounds of clothes and boots on me. I'm getting ready to run a 5-mile marathon. Okay? And here comes my competitor. And guess what? You ever watch those people that run those long distances? What have they got on? They got the lightest tennis shoes they can get on. They got little old skimpy shorts and a shirt. I mean, they got about the least clothes that they can get on. Amen? You with me? Why is that, you reckon? They want the least resistance that they can. No baggage, that's right, as they run. Now, who do you think is going to win? This one scantily dressed over here with these real light Air Nikes on, or me with Brent's boots and Carhartt coveralls? Huh? I mean, it don't take an Einstein to figure out who's going to win that race. But seriously speaking, it's the same thing. Anything that's holding us down, attaching us to the world, keeping us back, holding us back, that's a weight. We need to get rid of it. So, now that we're participating, we're making some preparations. We're in this race, amen? We're all in this race together. Thirdly, we need to press on during this race. Now, imagine this. We're in this race. We're going to press on, right? And I'm up here and Shane's getting ready for the gun to fire, right? Y'all's with me. We're getting ready to run, okay? What do you reckon when the gun fires and we start off on this race, what do you reckon we need to do? We better pace ourselves. We need to pace ourselves. Because, hey, some of them that can run, Brother Joey, I don't know how fast your fastest player was on your team this year, but I bet some of them could run some pretty fast 40s, couldn't they? Amen? And if you take a sprinter, Brother Paul, that'll run the fastest 40, and then you take somebody that's set a pace, but you put them both in the race. See, y'all, this ain't a sprint. This is an endurance race. And you've got to set a pace. How many people, now you think right here for just a second, how many people have you seen, can God bring to your mind and your heart right now, that started out on fire, and where are they at now? I can think of some, Brother Darren, that was in this church right here since I've been here. And where are they at now? They've just burnt out. That's why it's so important that we... Here's one you all can relate to, even you youngins. Think about that. You've all heard this, that tortoise and that hare. Right? Huh? Now here's the little tortoise, you know, and here's the rabbit. It's like me sometimes, wide open. And boom, it's go. And the rabbit, shoo! And the tortoise, methodically. One step at a time, man. One step at a time. And the rabbit takes off wide open, and the rabbit gets over here, and he's like, I've left him in the dust. Ah, we have to sit back and take a nap, kick back. I don't need to pray. I don't need to study the Word of God. Well, I don't need to go to the house of God. What do I have to do that for? I'm way ahead of them. Guess what happens? Why, he snoozes. Here comes little old tortoise. Methodically, step by step. You know what? He's tired. He's got tired. But he don't quit. He keeps putting one step in front of the other, and in front of the other, and in front of the other. So guess what? He gets all the way down here. And finally, the hare awakens and realizes what's happened. And the tortoise is crossing the finish line. And he can't believe that he's got whooped by a turtle. Amen. Now, you can relate to this, Brother Jeff. Ooh, my wife, I'm going to tell on myself here. One of them snows. They all run together. And I had got out there, and I had shoveled my whole driveway. That Saturday, I mean the whole driveway. I even had to shovel Brother Darren a place where they could take the little dog Ziggy, you know, out to use the bathroom. There's no grass. And I had shoveled. And well, Brother Clay and Brother Chris Daniels, they had come up here with their tractors and they was cleaning the parking lot off. And me and Jeff come up here and we began to shovel and we cleaned this off and just had some good old fellowshipping time. I got back in the truck, my phone rang. It was my wife. She said, you ain't going to believe it. I said, what's the matter? She said, they scraped the road. We live on a private road. It's not state maintained. You know, so the state roads don't come down through there. And, of course, it tore Tara all to pieces because she was wanting a sleigh ride. And there that went. But that's another story. And she said, they scraped the road. And she goes, it's all in your driveway. Why couldn't you just let me found that out when I got there? I'm on my way home now. Had to shovel in the bed of the truck, and I get home and go over that snow and get in there, and I get out, and I get that shovel, and I begin, and it hardened up. You know how it gets hard, them clumps that big, and boy, I'll tell you, Brother Darren, I was like, ugh. You know, I was about to get in a closet, you know. God got to dealing with me, and he said, now, when you shovel that this morning, you set a pace. You with me? See, I had to set a pace, or I'd have never got that done, or I'd had a heart attack, right? And he said, you went up there to church and you come back, and guess what's here in your driveway now? Some hindrances. And that's what God spoke to my heart about. Them big old chunks of snow that I was getting mad trying to move. They were some hindrances. Listen to this. Galatians 5:7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So, church, after you set you a pace, you have to realize there's going to be some hindrances. They're going to come. But I've got good news. With those hindrances, with those obstacles, you can overcome them through the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So again I say, you've just got to press on. You've got to keep pressing on. So press on, church. Now, fourthly, now that we're participants, hey, we're prepared and we're pressing on. We're done, right? No, we're not done. Fourthly, we have to persevere in patience. Patience. Patience in the Greek is hupomone, and it means, listen to this, cheerful, hopeful, enduring, continuance, and waiting. Ain't that something? That's what patience in the Greek means. That don't sound like what patience is to me. I mean, I'm speaking about myself here. I'm preaching to me. That's not my definition of patience when it comes to Shane Gunner. Who set us an example? Jesus. Listen to this. Cheerful. Who was it that said, Brother Darren, be of good cheer? Jesus Himself. Hopeful. Who would we have a hope in? None other than Jesus. He's the one who gives us our hope. Enduring. I just read to you there in this second verse that for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Who endured for you and I that we might even be participants in this race? Jesus. Listen to this. Continuance. Did He not continue on, just like you said this morning, carrying out the Father's will that we might be saved? And get this last one. Waiting. Now, God dealt with me about this. I thought waiting. We're the bride of Christ. Okay? We are the bride of Christ. The believers. Blood bought. Born again. We are to be waiting. We're to be watching them waiting. But God give me something else. Not just waiting. This is what He gave me. Listen to this. Let me read this again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, now get this, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I thought about this waiting. Stay with me. Lord Jesus, I just read to you. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? Lord, give me this, Lord Jesus. He's waiting. This ought to put a springe in your step tonight. He's waiting. He's waiting for the Father to say, Son, it's time. Go get your bride. Call your children home. Now, if that ain't a blessing, that He's waiting for He'll call us home. Ain't that something? What a blessing. So, patience. Run with patience. We have to persevere. Persevere in patience. Now, listen to me in verse 3. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Well, I can't leave that alone. This is nowhere in my notes. I shared this with Brother Bean this morning. I thought this morning about that song about the cross and about that cross having a wondrous attraction. And it does. It has a wondrous attraction for me. I mean, I thank the Lord for His cross that He bled and died on, because without that cross, we'd all be of the men most miserable tonight. So that cross is a symbol that stirs deep emotions in our hearts and souls. But you know what? There's a flip side to that thing. That cross was also a symbol of suffering and of cruelty and of shame and of punishment and, worst of all, church, of all my sin being placed upon Him. You talk about humbling. Now here's something that's humbling. Think about this. Every sin. We're saved tonight. If you're saved, raise your hand. Even after we're saved, we still fail Him. every sin that Shane Gunner commits, by omission or commission or whatever, I sin, I fail miserably, was placed upon Him. My sins, no matter how great or how small, they were upon Him. Now you think about that. I thought about this when He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Huh? Think about that. It was because our sins was placed upon Him. Now go, you want better than that? Even the sins of those that would reject Him, He still died for them. Bless His name. But I thought about this. Right here at the end of this verse, it says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You're probably getting tired tonight. You're probably getting tired right now. Okay? Weary and faint. Listen, in the Greek, it means to tire. And get this, it's interchangeable. The word is interchangeable. I mean, you can use weary or faint, and both of them means to tire. Now, certainly, every single person here tonight would have to say, there is times in our spiritual lives that we get tired. I do. I get tired. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired in well-doing. Why, preacher? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's an if there. Well, preacher, help me here. How can I persevere in patience? How can I keep from growing weary and tired and faint in this old world the way things are going? How, preacher? I got good news for you. Lean on Jesus. There's a very great difference between a high jumper and a pole vaulter. But this is the illustration I'm going to use for you. A high jumper, he's going to take off, right? And let's say he's got the bar set at 8 foot. That's pretty good height. And he's going to take off on his own power, of his own accord, on his own might, of his own strength. And he's going to take off running as hard as he can. And he's going to plant his feet. And he's going to jump with all he can. And if he's lucky, he'll cross that bar that's 8 or 9 foot high. And he'll do it on his own. Now, the pole vaulter, he's going to take that pole. Now, he's going to take off running just like the high jumper. Now, when he gets here, he's going to plant that pole. And he's going to put all his weight upon that pole. And he's going to allow that pole to spring him, to catapult him to heights that he could never, ever reach if he's doing it on his own accord. The same with Jesus, spiritually speaking. If we quit trying to run and do it on our own, and we just lean on Him, He could lift us and elevate us to places that we've never been, nor would be able to get on our own. So that's how you can persevere in patience. Lean on Jesus. Some things you just wasn't meant to bear by yourself, church, and you can't. But He can. Glory, hallelujah, He can. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. I've just got one more point and I'll be done. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28. The Bible says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. Now, Lord, just give me that. Don't push away from the table on me here. Some folks, even Christian folks, Pastor, will refer to our Heavenly Father as the old man upstairs. The Bible says that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. Can I ask you to do me a favor? If I'm around, please don't refer to Him as the old man upstairs, because He ain't the old man upstairs. And I take offense to that. He's the Creator of all that ever was and ever is and ever will be. He's the one who knew us when we were yet in our mother's womb. He's the one who loved us and sent His Son to die for us. And to imply that He's the old man upstairs with some gray hair, feeble and old, disrespectful. He is the eternal God. Well, that fires me up. The old man upstairs. Tears me up, preacher. Obviously, they don't know or serve the same God I do. The Bible says, fainteth not, neither is weary. He giveth power to the faint. Hey, if you're tired, He'll give you power. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. You need some strength? Huh? Are you going through something that you need some strength? He can give you the strength that you need. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. I thought about, and the young men shall utterly fall. I thought about the young people and how they're full of energy and they're strong. But even the young people, as time progresses again, they shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I thought about this. Brother Brent had him a little spell a minute ago, and he just took, woo, run all the way around the church. Crandall, I ain't seen you run around the church. But I'll guarantee you, if I know anything about you, ma'am, that you're a walking. Ain't you walking with the Lord? He's a giving you strength day by day, amen? Glory to God. You can walk. If you can't run, you can walk. How? Because your strength is renewed. If you'll wait on the Lord and ask Him to give you strength and power, He'll do that for you. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying persevere in patience. Because, number five, there is a prize for enduring the race. There's a prize for all this, you guys. These things are just temporal. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. Now, I've not had you turning as much as Brother Darren. I'm not done yet. Just kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to this. Thinking. You're saved. You're participating in this Christian race. You're prepared. You're conditioning yourself spiritually. You're pressing on. You're going to persevere in patience. What's it going to yield? It's going to yield a prize for enduring in this race. Chapter 4 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now here's something Matthew will like. Why is it so imperative? Why is it so important that we as Christians and we as a church faint not? That we keep pressing on and we keep persevering. Why is it so important? Look with me in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's what's so important. That souls come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They ain't nothing no more important to me than to see somebody saved. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side. Are you troubled tonight? Yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Is this world perplexing and confusing you? But not in despair. Persecuted. Do you feel sometimes like you're just persecuted? Huh? Like the world hates you? It's probably because they do, Brother Paul. But not forsaken. Cast down. You feel sometimes like you're just throwed down and kicked. Everybody's just walking over top of you. Nobody cares. You ever feel like that? The Bible says, but not destroyed. Verse 14. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Listen to this. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Brother Bobby, I've heard you pray that before about our inward man being renewed. How is our inward man going to be renewed day by day? Just what I told you. Pray. Read the Word of God. Come to the house of God. Get around God's people. Get around God's business. Verse 17. For our light affliction. This is Paul writing. Paul. The Apostle Paul, Brother Darren. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you see what that said? Paul just calls it a light affliction. Of all the things that the Apostle Paul went through, I've not went through any of them. Paul says it's just a light affliction. Why? Because here's why. Whereas ye know what not shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. A vapor. Imagine something on the stove, a steaming, blowing up. You know how steam comes up? How long does it take to watch that steam come up into the air and be gone? Or how many times have you seen a foggy morning and the sun breaks through the cloud and the fog and poof, it's gone? That's what he's trying to say. That's how quick our lives are down here on earth. They're temporal, amen? That's why Paul said, hey y'all, it's just a light affliction. Don't worry about it. Just keep serving God, amen? Why? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what we're looking for, y'all. We're looking for eternal things. Not things down here. All this stuff's going to pass away. Amen? Boy, I thought about them Olympics. You know them that they've been just rejoicing no matter what country they're from. And they've won and they get that beautiful gold medal. And I'm certain they're proud of them. And we as a country are proud of our American athletes. But, you know what? When it's time for them to give up the ghost, they can take that golden medal and lay it in there with them, and that's where it's going to stay. You dig them up 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and it's going to be right there. It ain't going to go with them. In other words, we ain't going to take one thing with us. Nothing. But what we will take with us is the decision of whether we've accepted or rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on Calvary's cross. That's what you'll take with you. And here's the thing. It has eternal ramifications. Your eternality relies upon what you do with Jesus. So, there's a prize if you endure this race. Never said it'd be easy. Never said it'd be easy. But, there's a prize. 2 Timothy, and I'm done. 2 Timothy. And I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter 4 has a very special place in my heart because when our pastor charged me when I was ordained as a preacher I'm just going to read it. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, there's your lust, Brother Darren, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, boy, not to pick on TV evangelists, but to pick on TV evangelists. Huh? I mean, you flip it over there. I've told my wife before, you know, if I could let my hair grow out, but down to there maybe. What do you think? Huh? Will, you think I'd look better? No, I wouldn't, amen. You go ahead and say it. Knock Zeeman up and I'll help you. And take me a, Miss Sophie, take me one of them big round brushes like Brother Tony uses, you know. And a hair dryer. Huh? Pretty myself up. And come up here tonight after we've had a service like that and say, nothing but the Lord's just going to bless you. It don't matter if you pray. Why? It don't matter if you come to church. Huh? None of those things matter. It don't matter if you read the Word of God, because God's going to bless you. He's just going to bless you. It don't matter. He's just going to bless you. Well, I feel we'd fill this place out, brother. We'd bust the walls out, wouldn't we? We would. Huh? We would. Why? Because that's what people want to hear. Yes, Steve, that's what they want to hear. They want to hear that tickle my ears and fancy stuff. They won't want to hear what the man of God got up this morning and preached about. We don't need to be fighting and fitting amongst ourselves. We need to be about love and preferring one another before each other. Huh? That's the good stuff. That's the real stuff. Oh. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Well, that's what he charged me with, for me to make full proof of my ministry. And I take that very seriously. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure it is hand. Okay, now get this. If you didn't get nothing else tonight, get this. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure at hand. So if God doesn't rapture His church home, and every one of us have to experience that vehicle of death, could it be said that we could say, as Paul says, Lord, I'm ready now to be offered. I know my time of departure is at hand. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You see, each and every one of you tonight, if you're saved, you have a course. God has a plan, and He has a purpose for you. I don't care if you're the oldest person here or the youngest person here. He's got a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Yes, He does. And He says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, what a statement that I'd be able to say that. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, it didn't say some angel, it says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. His reward. We sung that song, I'm blessed. Think about this. Of all the blessings that He gives us here on planet Earth, and all the blessings that He bestows upon us, He's good to us. These are just temporal. In other words, this ain't even the tip of the iceberg. Think about heaven and eternality and Jesus and your loved one and no sin and no devil and no trial and no tribulation. Huh? Think about these things. And so I would say to you tonight, church, keep running. Keep running. There is a cause, and there's folks out there that if we don't keep running, if we don't keep the faith, if we don't keep praying and coming to the house of God and reading the Word of God and reflecting the love of Christ, how are they going to know? How are they going to know? Amen. Keep running. I want to encourage you tonight. If you didn't get nothing I said, allow this little old associate pastor who loves every one of you, I promise you from the bottom depths of my soul and heart, I love you. Please keep running. Souls hang in the balance. And this is no time to quit. I believe with all my heart God wants to bless us if we'll just stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. I'm done.